This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ozzie Guillen.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
White Sox pre- and post-analyst for Chicago Sports Network.
La Pantera. My man destroyed la pantera. La pantera. La pantera. No. Pantera.
La pantera.
There we go.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second. Two out. Palmeiro. Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series.
No hold bar baseball opinions.
I'm managing one guy. I almost start crying. Adam Dunn.
Yeah.
People ask me, like, why do you keep playing him? Don't blame me. Blame Katie and Rick. They signed him. I had to play him.
Well, did you give Adam Dunn a mental break or he just...
I gave him two bottles of vodka with orange juice.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We'll talk to Ozzy in a minute, but it's kind of funny to just hear Adam Dunn. I literally hit the ground and start trying to get myself out of the jungle.
Yeah, that might not put the White Sox fans in the greatest frame of mind, the Adam Dunn reminder, because that was a bleak period. That was a bad signing, and that was a disappointment. So today the Sox are going to have their first workout at the Rate. Will Venable is going to preside over his first workout of this team as the first-time manager of the Sox.
And yeah.
Maybe we'll find out what the lineup is.
I think it's hilarious that we don't know. Let me ask you this. Is there someone getting cut today that's going to start for the Sox tomorrow? And I know that's not going to happen.
You can't do that. I don't think
so. Are you sure?
No.
What about Friday?
I'm not sure. No, maybe. Well, somebody could play a role, perhaps. But I just don't think that unless it's like a pitcher, a bullpen piece, you could see that being somebody they add. But it would have to be very quickly. I think what the White Sox are going to be is – boy, you hope that there's a defining characteristic of a bunch of young guys that we never really have seen before. The infield's going to be largely, relatively anonymous and new.
Yes.
And outside of Andrew Vaughn, which we have seen, and he needs to have a type of season that represents progress for him. And that look on your face says that you're skeptical. And I think that it's earned skepticism.
I'm trying not to be negative.
You know, I saw Mike Tauchman being injured is a disappointment.
He's hurt. Yeah, it looks like he's going to start the season on IL.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Who likes that?
Yeah, he's got a hammy. And so it's going to be the outfield Jankowski?
But is Slater playing? Is he hurt?
Austin Slater?
I thought he was going to play. But is he playing on the other side? Because is Benintendi opening the season as a DH? And then maybe
the fact that he's even playing or swinging a bat is a surprise based on the fact that he broke a bone in his hand not that long ago. So the fact that he's back, a lot of questions.
I wonder if Ozzy even has been told. Does he know who's the starting shortstop? I mean, we know who the candidates are, but
I don't think Ozzy would know. I saw Ozzy yesterday, and he did not. He has a thought on it.
Yeah,
I'm sure he has thoughts. He also was a guy that I'm curious to see the way that Colson Montgomery.
Yes.
Spent this spring. I wonder if that reinforced Ozzy's belief that he won't be a shortstop, but he will likely be a third baseman at the major league level. We know that Colson Montgomery wants to play shortstop.
How old is Colson Montgomery?
22, 23.
How come he has back problems that I used to have?
that you used to have?
I still have a little bit.
Okay. That's pretty cocky there. A month of back free.
I'd like to hope I'm on the other side of it.
Pain-free.
Oh, no, I'm
proud that you were doing that. You should be.
Yeah,
that's great. I'm glad to send your back in your rearview mirror.
I've been really trying to get myself in a position where
you have.
I'm not really.
I think it's very. It's a testament to how hard you have worked that you don't have back problems, and Colson Montgomery does. I think it's a testament to your hard work.
He needs to work as hard as I do.
Is
that what you're saying?
Yes.
I hope. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Matt Theis is going to start a catcher.
Yes. No surprise.
Wait, really?
Oh yeah, they moved. They still have what's his name, and he'll play a lot, but he's kind of
Corey Lee.
But
why isn't he starting?
I think because he's not as good a catcher as
Framer.
Well, not framing. I mean, just catching the ball and throwing guys out and such.
The Sox have tremendous depth at the catching position. Teal is
in the minor leagues.
Yeah, is the guy we're waiting for?
Yes.
Now,
well, we were waiting for Cueto, and now they've got another catcher who's ahead of him. So they still have they have two really good young catchers.
You made me think of Johnny Cueto. You're thinking of Caro.
Oh, Caro.
Caro, because Johnny Cueto is gone, long gone.
I love Johnny Cueto.
I love Johnny Cueto. Yeah. Those were the days, right?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was when they were competitive. That was fun. They're going to be, hopefully.
I got to get my White Sox together. It's hard, man. I've been reading everything I can, but I'm losing names and falling apart.
No, you're not falling apart. It's understandable.
Changing.
This is a very young roster. It's got a lot to prove. A lot of guys who are trying to prove they belong in the major league level. And Miguel Vargas is somebody who's going to likely be the opening day third baseman. Had a very strong spring. Very strong spring. He had to because he hit 105 last year after coming over from the Dodgers. He bulked up, and I want to see him continue to progress.
Did you see they cut Omar Navarez?
He was
the other guy.
Saw that.
They were kind of waiting on.
Yeah. Well, he's another catcher.
All right. We've got the delightful moment. We've got Ozzy back. The winning never stops at Four Winds Casinos with locations in New Buffalo and South Bend. Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. We are delighted that they are back sponsoring our guy, Ozzy Guillen. And Ozzy joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Morning, Ozzy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Sorry, I was in Venezuela. I didn't use my cellular phone that much back then. Sorry, I couldn't communicate with you. I'm doing great. Very well. Very excited with a new channel on TV to see the White Sox. We did the preseason show yesterday, everything went well. I'm very excited to see this ball club perform, to see what kind of ball club we're going to have.
Welcome back, Ozzy. It was great to see you at CHSN. It's great to see you back with Chuck talking about the White Sox. Just curious, you have just recently returned back to town. What do you wonder about this team? What have you learned since you have returned, and what are your expectations?
You know, the best thing I hear so far is the way Venable, the manager, went through his business. You know, he's just very low-key. I'm very excited because I talked to Bruce Bochy about asking questions about him. You know, when you have that type of a baseball man coming in town with the situation the White Sox have and what they need to do and what they're going to do, bring a guy with that experience. You know what I mean? He's coaching under great managers, Joe Maddon, Alex Cora, Bruce Bochy. He's working in the front office with the Chicago Cubs. I mean, this man is doing it all. Now he had the opportunity to be manager. Obviously, we should know exactly what kind of ball club he's going to have. I think it's what I see him talking with the media, very low-key. It's not about talking, it's about doing stuff. And I like that situation. We don't have that situation a little while back with the White Sox. And I'm very excited to see him working with the guys, working with the kids. I think he's, these guys, he's did everything in baseball to get what he gets. And I'm looking forward to see him working this year, looking forward to see development of those players, get the best out of them. And you know what I mean? Make sure they get one. I look at one way to see White Sox baseball. You know what I mean? I don't expect them to win that many games, but I expect them to play good baseball day in and day out, and I think they're willing to do it now. They don't have that many names on the lineup. They don't have that many guys with a different attitude in the lineup, with a different way to watch a baseball game or play the game. I'm looking forward to see this type of players because they had to show they're good enough to be in the big league in the future. Future for White Sox, hopefully, with the trade they make over the year, work for them in next few years.
Ozzie, are you surprised that not many of their prospects have made this team? In other words, you know, the catchers, we know Teal and the other guy are down in the minors. We know that you know, neither Colson Montgomery nor Chase Meidroff are going to be playing with the big league club. They're down in the minors. We don't know. I guess it's Jacob Amaya by process of elimination, or I don't know who's playing shortstop. And
Brooks Baldwin could be
Brooks
a candidate.
Brooks Baldwin would be a candidate. Mm-hmm. He hit a lip. Amaya probably better defensively, but can't hit. And Baldwin hit last year in the minor leagues, but not when he went to the big club. I mean, when you look at how they're going to line up, we don't even know who's playing where. We got theories, but they haven't announced their lineup. They're probably waiting until Thursday, and it's Wednesday. It's crazy.
Well, it's a funny thing about it because obviously it's the same way they start spring training. They find out who's going to make the ball club. Now, I'm very pleased the way they use those guys. That you're not ready to play in the big league yet.
Yeah,
we need to give you more. We're going to give you more time. Make sure those guys grow up together. I mean, those kids out there, I think it's a little younger to be in the big league level. They know. They say, hey, just give more chance to them to play. You know, to get better. His game get better. And I think when they come up. I like the idea. And right now, they got to wait because they had a couple guys hurt. Maybe Sosa be starting at second base.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things going there and performing. You see, I love the way I say yesterday, not because you're the opening day pitcher, you're the ace. It's not working that way, especially with the White Sox ball club, because most of the time in baseball history, who was the opening the pitcher was the guy that spent a lot of money.
Yep.
The guy just win the Cy Young Award. You know what I mean? So many things. I like that. And I just said yesterday, I said, no, because you're the opening day pitcher, you will be the ace. It's not the point here with the White Sox. And I think it's a good idea to make sure those guys get more mature, get more playing time in the minor leagues when they're ready to come to the big league. They come together and play together. That's pretty good moment for the White Sox. They're going to bring all those guys together. So a lot of organizations did it. The Kansas City Royals did it. The San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
And the Cubs did it. At one point, the San Francisco Giants did it with all those guys, with Posey and all those guys together. And I think right now, White Sox had a great opportunity to make that happen. Maybe middle of the season, maybe next year. We have to be patient. But I expect those guys to take the field. Baseball. Last year, we lost a lot of games by one run because we just give things away. We just give it away. And I think hopefully this year, those guys, they go do the little thing. Play as a team. It's a team. A lot of people say, not because you're in the same building with you, with your teammate, you are, you know what I mean? It's not, that's not a team. A team is the guys take care of each other, back each other up, getting people behind. You know, not because you make one mistake, go say it. You know what I mean? I don't care if you have one day in the big league or you have 30 years in the big league. Say it. They say, this is why you not do this? Why you don't move the guy over? Why you not run hard? I think baseball changed in that particular area. Like the players now, they like, oh, if I say something, you're not going to like me. You're going to hate me. My teammate going to hate me because I'm vocal, because I when somebody, I let my coaches, my manager do that. I think that's not a thing. The thing is, like, can you pick each other up? Can we stand up and motivate the guy next to you? You criticize the guy next to you. You talk to those guys. I think that's a team. And I think having those guys together with the right group of coaches and manager, being in the game for a little while, I think that's a lot of great things happen to this organization.
Okay,
I was say pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. A great way to look at it. I think you have to look at it that way. But I want to look at it another way, though, because I think I kind of feel a little disappointed, because at the beginning of spring training, Colson Montgomery was presented as a guy who had an opportunity to win the shortstop job. And then when he was sent down, Chase Mydroth was given the opportunity to win the shortstop job. And while there is value in bringing them up together on the same timetable and not rushing them to the majors, I do think that there's an element of disappointment and maybe even a reason to wonder about the player development here, because they aren't at the major league level at a time when maybe some people were given the reason to believe they might, they could be, or were given the opportunity, but they did not take advantage.
Well, I think they did. I think they earned and they deserved that, because the opportunity wasn't there. But I think the way I look at it, I'm far away from spring training. The way I look at it, I think those guys know, well, you know what? They look good in spring training. We got the opportunity, but I don't think they're ready to play through the season. You know what I mean? I'm Montgomery's fan. You know what I mean? We watch him more than anybody because Chuck loves him, and we got to watch this kid every day on TV. Oh, Chuck is upset with this guy. And I've seen it. And to be honest with you, I don't what's crazy about him. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I see him down in the minor league. Everything is, he was a Deadpool hitter. You had a home run or nothing. Defensively, I say, well, he can be a shortstop, but I don't know how big he's going to get when he get to the big league. When he age a lot, I think he'd be a corner guy. But in meanwhile, I think, you know, the way he plays shortstop, he's been trying to weigh thing. I think he got better. Obviously, I'm going to see him through the year because we got TV everywhere. The only thing we see was the triple A games, watching the future of the White Sox. But I think you're right. It's just so many things you can go. You can go either way. Say, okay, guys, get to the big league and suffer, or go to a minor league, get some more bats. Then when we think when you guys ready, come out together. I think that's how they think. I mean, we don't know exactly, or I don't know exactly what they take. I might ask Pettibold next couple of days, or I might ask Chris Getz about the ideas they have. Hopefully they told me that, you know, how they feel, what they say, because right now we got to wait and see exactly what they think.
You know, I think, Ozzy, the problem that not necessarily that I have, but friends of mine have, is believing in young players, believing in the future as opposed to the right now. And I think we've been down this road and we've seen prospects, and there was a time when Yoan Moncada was the number one prospect in baseball and Eloy was like seven and they had nine guys, and you thought this is going to be something spectacular, and then it never fired. And so here you are trying to rebuild again, and I think you lost a lot of people. And I think that when you look at their pitching staff, you can make an argument that last year they had an all-star pitcher who opened on opening day. They had a guy in Fetty who was a good, solid pitcher. Now what do they have? Like, can you trust that five-man rotation? And meanwhile, six guys have just undergone Tommy John surgery. So believing in the future kind of it keeps you from being able to understand what's happening in the right now, right? I mean, I don't think people are buying look down the road.
Oh, it's a funny thing. The sixth guy got Tommy John. That's easy to say, guys. That's easy. And I keep saying that day in and day out. Guy from the minor league, guy from college, high school, you don't throw hundreds. It's very, very, very low to be in the big league. All of a sudden, they try to put those guys to throw harder than what they can. That's one thing about, I don't know much about pitching. When you have, Steve Stone on the phone,
yeah,
on the show, ask him because I don't know. But I think that's the problem. I come from Venezuela, Winter League, a lot of guys, 16 years old, 14 years old, you don't throw 90, we're not going to sign you, don't throw 95. And they build those guys that way. And on the other hand, we don't know the future. We don't know what those kids are going to bring to the table. When they trade those guys, I was disappointed. Obviously, White Sox fan. But in the meanwhile, the question was, if we win with those guys 2 years, 3 years with them, with the organization, I doubt it. Then I say, oh, well, you know what? They're trading to see if we can get something good for the future. With the rebuild 2 years ago, one of my favorite players, my favorite person, Jimenez, got hurt every 2 seconds. You know what I mean? They bring those guys together and they look good on the team, but I don't think I'd see them hungry. All of a sudden, they got a couple home runs. Here's $10 million a year, 7-year contract. Go get it. Oh, I signed my contract. Who cares? You know what I mean? I don't care what people say. Yes, you feel that way. I'm secure. I'm not hungry. I got it. No. And now people mentality is different than the way it was when I was a young player. Because when you sign 2 years deal, that's the most you can sign back then. 3 years deal. You're like, oh my God, I got to show people I earned that money. Now, like, okay, I got my money.
You're done.
Who cares?
Ozzy, you're the best. I, thank you, buddy. We got to run. Right, really appreciate it, pal. Right. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Oz. Right,
thank you.
Tune in to Ozzy's Outlook, presented by Four Winds Casino, every Wednesday in the 8 a.m. hour during the Mully and Haw Show throughout the 2025 baseball season. Listen for your chance to win a $200 gift card to Four Winds Resort and Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend. Four Winds Resort and Casino, your entertainment escape. Great to have them back. Great to have Ozzy back. And
more Sox talk.
Yeah. Hopefully we get more fun from help. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Let's go.
Hey. Not going to take long for the league to say, okay, he's not swinging at those.
But he's swinging at that one. A no-doubter deep to left. Goodbye. A three-run shot for Luis Robert Jr. And he looks like he is ready for opening day on Thursday. A solo home run yesterday, a three-run shot today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There is the White Sox player. There is the best player on the team, the former All-Star.
No doubt.
Capable of being an All-Star. I thought at one point he was capable of being an MVP.
Well, I think a lot of people thought that.
Because he can run like a deer.
Yes.
He can cover the outfield. He can cover a couple different
And he can hit the
positions,
ball a country mile.
And he's a real good player.
He's a really good player if
but
he can stay healthy.
He's been dogged by injury, as have the White Sox for many a year.
Thanks to CHSN for that highlight.
Yep.
John Schifrin, Steve Stone, they're ready to go tomorrow, opening day. We just talked to Ozzy. He's ready. Everybody's getting geared up. So Chris Getz spoke to The Athletic in a nice Q&A with John Greenberg. Ends this way. Question. Can you confidently say you'll win more games than you did last year? Answer. I can confidently say we're going to win more games than we did last year.
Oh, good.
So there's confidence there.
That's good.
That's not a high bar to clear. I do wonder when you're talking about expectations for this season, you're not really going to attach it to a win total. I think that you want to and maybe tempted to out of habit, but you have to see a defining characteristic. They have to be fundamentally sound. You'd like to see him play smart baseball. You'd like to see him pitch well, get on base. Whatever it is, you need to see something that says this is a new brand of White Sox baseball.
So here's the deal. Everybody is picking them 30th. Everybody says they're the worst team around.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard other people say, I think Marshall said the other day, just, you know, try to be better than one team. Try to be better than somebody else. And I'm not sure I understand that. Because, like you asked me, would it make a difference if they had 99 losses instead of 100,
mm-hmm.
right? We kind of talked about that a little bit. But, you know, you give me these kind of wormhole questions, and it just digs through my brain.
I love the wormhole questions.
I think about them as I go on. This is a year where if you're going to be bad, you get the first pick in the draft, right? You wouldn't have gotten the first pick in the draft last year because they have a rule in Major League Baseball. They changed the rule that if you are in the top five or whatever it is, that the next year you got to be 10th or lower. So they were, despite being the worst team in human history,
mm-hmm.
and I mean that, like the worst team in MLB history ever, they got the 10th
pick
in the draft.
You could say human history. Sounds a little more dramatic.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. I mean, in all of the universe, and I don't know that they play baseball on other planets.
All the time.
But I'm just going to claim
yes.
that universally accepted as the worst team. And the reward was not a first overall pick. I think this year, just the way that they're not bringing up the young guys, the way they're putting the team together, where it's not like they're going out and trying to get some veteran guys that they can move at the trade deadline. And you know, they got one player that they will try to move at the trade deadline. And we talked about this morning what his value is, et cetera. And that is the aforementioned Luis Robert.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong if it's close that they lose, because they're not bringing up their guys this
but
year.
But I
at
don't
least
know.
Not yet.
Okay, but Paul Skeens isn't walking through that door.
Maybe he will in a year.
Well, I don't know that.
Give me the next Paul
Skeens. Give me the name. Give me the name. Give me who it is. I don't know who that is.
I have not yet.
So,
I'm still working on the NFL draft.
Okay.
Then I will get to
MLB. Fair enough. And I love the wormhole question that you think about a lot, and you brought it up. So, but okay. Do me this favor, though. It's March 26th.
Yes.
Opening day is tomorrow. Can we at least wait until Mike Trout leaves town before we start with the worrying about tanking for 26?
I am not calling on it. What I'm saying is we just talked to Ozzie.
Yeah.
And he basically talked to Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
And he got the rundown on who Will Venable is and how he will manage. And Ozzie seems to believe, I believe he used the term, they're going to play fundamental baseball.
That's the one thing I think you want to see.
Okay.
That's the defining characteristic I'm talking about.
Tell me when last we saw the White Sox play fundamental baseball.
Well, it was probably several years ago.
Probably
it was
20 years ago.
No, yes. That's not fair.
Ozzie played some fundamental baseball.
Pre-La Russa, Ozzie played fundamental baseball. Yeah, they won a World Series 20 years ago. That's why they have the cake shake. They're celebrating that.
That's why you are struggling through the day because you had a cake shake.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you. I'm dragging. Physically, I'm dragging.
Don't say that.
It feels like
don't
five more pounds. I can't wait to get to the treadmill. But look, you know, they need to be something that they haven't been. And I think what you hear from early returns, and I think what we can observe just from our own experiences of watching managers conduct themselves, comport themselves, Will Venable looks like a keeper.
I'm not arguing that. And I feel the White Sox are in better condition with Will Venable than Pedro Grifol.
No doubt.
I'm much happier about that. But as we've discussed, according to the analytics people, that's a difference of two games. A manager, so say that he's two games better, and then Pedro was two games worse. That would equal four-game improvement from last year.
You need more than that.
But look at the lineup.
Yeah.
Look at the pitching. Look at the bullpen. I just don't know how they're going to navigate all the innings that these pitchers are going to have to navigate.
I don't either, because this pitching staff is not as proven as the one that began last year.
No, that's what I said to Ozzie.
And that's the problem, because the lineup is something that you could say the same thing about.
Can you MacGyver up pitching?
I can't do that. No.
I don't know how you do that.
Ethan Katz is good. I don't think he's that good.
Time out. Let me just shove my gum in your ear.
Brian Bannister is
smart.
Keep
your brain leading.
I don't know if he's that smart. What they need to do is, their best pitchers are at Double A. The other pitchers that were promising, they've got six guys who have undergone Tommy John surgery since the season started. I want to know how that compares to other organizations. And that's a conversation that's a very uncomfortable one, but I'm just curious about what is being done to address that rash of surgeries. You don't say rash of injuries. You usually say rash of injuries. This is a rash of surgeries.
Oh, my God.
And that's not a good trend.
A rash of, like, not just surgery, but, like, year-long. Like, this is setting you back a year. Drew Thorpe didn't pitch last year because of surgery. Now, that's,
well,
that guy,
he pitched, and when he did, it was promising. And he built up the expectations and hopes, and then he went on the shelf. And then he came back, and then he went back on the shelf. So I think that he teased us into
he's the crochet. He's the crochet. Honestly, that's a guy that could come back and be better than anyone expects, if indeed he can survive through another year. We're talking about 27, basically, mm-hmm. right?
But Garrett Crochet, that type of a pitcher doesn't exist on this White Sox staff as we open the season. You hope that Davis Martin emerges as a guy who's a dependable starter. You hope that Sean Burke is a guy that continues to ascend. But these are a lot of ifs and buts and maybes.
Candy and nuts.
Yeah. And it's, so Grant Taylor is somebody that's intriguing.
Oh, I agree.
But these are young,
but those guys haven't had their surgery
pitchers.
Yet. I mean, that's how I feel when I see all this going on. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to look forward to a season that if you have those kind of expectations. At the same time, if you're Chris Getz and you're looking ahead and you hired a new manager and you have bottomed out, you want to begin the climb tomorrow, and you want to begin the climb back to respectability in a way that says that you have focused and emphasize something. And hopefully those are the fundamentals that we did not see last year.
We have a texter who is accusing us of blindly saying that they're going to be better than last year. I got to tell you, man, they can't be worse, can they? Did you see how bad they were last year? Did you pay attention at all? I think that if they played fundamental baseball, I think, you know, Pedro gone is a plus. And Will Venable, that's a plus because Ozzie got a good scouting report.
I think that I resist the idea that we're being Pollyanna-ish by predicting or projecting them to lose 110 games.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Come on.
That is not – if you –
they're going to struggle, but they're not going to be as bad as the worst team in baseball history. Is that overly optimistic? Okay. Well, I'll own that.
Yeah.
I'll own it.
All right. We're gonna bring in Chris Chelios. We'll talk to Chelly. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith the head to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Chris Chelios. Brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Download the app today. Discover the new look same game parlay product, live bet tracking, parlay quick betting, and more. Please gamble responsibly. Chris joins us on the Atturo Tire Hotline. Atturo, new tires for the spring, Turo.com. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're wishing we could live your life, as always.
Where are you now?
How you do? I'm in Jupiter, Florida. We're just about to head into Michael's course here and play some golf. I'm watching Brett Hall on the range. Not paying attention to the interview one bit right now.
Well, par for the course, if you will. Yeah.
Is that the golden bread in the background?
Yeah.
Look at that.
No, right here. I'm not even in the background. I'm right here live.
That's great to talk to you, Brett. Welcome to the score. All right, so while you're standing next to Chelly, tell us how you guys are viewing this Ovechkin chase. You're friends with Gretzky. Ovechkin's within six goals of breaking the record. Are you rooting for him or against him?
Totally for him. Every record is made to be broken, and as wonderful as Wayne is and the records he has, one record that he won't keep will not hurt him one bit, because he's probably got about 100 others. So, and you got to tip your hat to Alex Ovechkin. I mean, he's just an incredible goal scorer.
I'll tell you what's amazing. You guys, Holly was just talking about the other day, too, like when he was, you know, in the race, he's top five anyway. He was saying how exciting it was, you know, chasing those records. So, yeah. So he's a big fan.
Is, you know, are you going to console Wayne? Does he need help? He'll be there, I imagine. I mean, that's kind of, he's a class act all the way around. But, I mean, I don't know. I scored a few goals, is what he said to us years ago. And I'm thinking, yeah, you scored a few goals, but someone else may score a few more.
Yeah, I mean, from my personal view, when I was like the kid from Chicago, then Montreal, that might break my rookie record for points with Montreal. Deep down, I don't want him to break it. I'd cheer for the kid. But, so, you know, and you're right. Gretz is so, you know, professional about stuff. But it's got to bug you, I would think, especially that record, because that, you know, I think tops most of them other than, you know, winning cups and stuff and team achievements. But, yeah. You're all competitive, and you know, no one ever thought this record was going to be broken. So, but I like Holly. I'm a big fan of Ovechkin. The team's doing great this year for him. I hope he does it this year on a high like he's been going on all year with the Capitals.
Brett, I got to ask you. So we have heard a lot of opinions outside of Chicago about Connor Bedard. From your perspective, having watched him in his second season, it hasn't been maybe up to expectations in a lot of people's eyes. How do you view Connor Bedard and where he is at this point of his career?
Well, you know, that's going to be up to him. It's, you know, I'm the same way. I have heard a lot of stories, and you never know really what to believe, but it's up to him to make his own way. And it's up to him to decide what people think of him. So he needs to go out. He needs to, you know, just like no different than a Jeremy Roenick when he came to the Blackhawks. No one knew who he was, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, Jeremy Roenick, he's a stud. And that's what Connor needs to do for himself.
What do you hate about him? I'm joking. That's not a real question. He's just been criticized by a lot of players and commentators. When we look at the end of this season, though, you know, the Blackhawks don't have much time left. They got a lot of young players, and you kind of get the sense, you know, we're just in a position where you're wanting to hit the fast forward button. Brett, what was that like in your career when you were waiting to win?
Well, and that's exactly what it was, right? I was in Calgary, wasn't getting a chance to play, and all of a sudden I got traded to St. Louis, and all of a sudden you become kind of the guy, and now it's up to you to step up and be that guy, and it's the same with Connor. Everyone knows he's the guy. And he's got to take all those young guys, and he's got to lead them to the promised land. Like Shelley, when he was with the Montreal Canadiens, they had a bunch of young guys, including Patrick Roy, in the net. And so they all said, you know what, we're going to play. Strudlin, Shelley,
Claude Lemieux, Stephane
Ritchie. Yeah. All those guys. And they said, you know, and they won a Stanley Cup because they were unbelievable. And that's what Bedard has to do with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's got to lead them to be great.
And everybody's saying, asking how, you know, how long the time frame would you think before they're a playoff team and, you know, a Stanley Cup contender. I asked Gretz yesterday how many years he was in the league before they did win the Cup, and it was 5 years. But, I mean, obviously the players that were surrounded, Messier, Curry, Anderson, Coffey, you know, Grant Fuhr and Andy Moog, that's a special group. But, you know, but I'm looking for the timetable too.
Brett, do you think Jonathan Toews can make a return to the NHL at age 37?
No.
That's
there you go. No gray area there.
Because it's been away too long?
Yeah, way too long.
Okay.
Way too long.
The only guy that could actually do it is Chris.
I say, you're standing next to a guy who says he has 10 good years left.
I just think with Toews, like, you know, being the player that he was, if he could take a, you know, put his ego aside, not that he has one, like I did, and go to a team where there's a good fit, he might not be on the power play, he might be on the second unit or a you know, a third, fourth line guy, and if he earns it, then yeah, obviously, but he's going to have to be on a really good team and give them that depth, like, you know, that third line center who's great on faceoffs, good defensively, so I'm not betting against Toews yet.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. All right,
guys. Good answer, guys.
Hey, thanks so much, Chris. As always, we appreciate it. And Brett, you know, everybody in Chicago loved your dad.
Yeah.
And it's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, greatest human being ever. Thank you.
That was Chris Chelios. Check BetMGM for daily offers such as odds, boost tokens, no sweat tokens. BetMGM also has you covered with countless betting options such as new look, same game parlays, teasers, live bets, so much more. We will be right back. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.